Every entrepreneur has been there.
Growing pains obstacles make you growth stronger. Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
You haven't thought this through before you go to send marketing emails, you're going to fall into a bit of trouble because you're not going to be able to segment them.
Right. And if someone receives an email that is super generic or is actually talking about a different target audience and they're not that person, they are not going to be happy. Hi, I'm Vicki Merrick, and I am the co-founder and CFO for Tangible Words.
One of the things I love about Vicki Merrick is that she's a data nerd. She helps us and our clients understand and get the most out of HubSpot's superpowers. She'll be the first to tell you that clean data is the secret to those superpowers. One of our clients once said that Vicki has a PhD in HubSpot. In this episode, we get into juicy topics like the problems with Salesforce and Zoho, which integrations you can drop to save money and make HubSpot more powerful, why I thought forms were dead and then changed my tune, why dirty data is dangerous, and things you can do today to keep your data clean. But first, let's get a definition of CRM data.
So CRM is a customer relationship management tool that stores customer and prospect contact information in a particular software. So it could be HubSpot, Salesforce, Zoho is a free version, and it helps you identify marketing and sales opportunities and also could record, you know, different service issues or campaigns and that sort of thing.
I think people sometimes forget that when they're looking at Marketing Hub, you can seed and grow with HubSpot and just start off with the CRM to start keeping track of your customers and sharing that information across your team, which is the benefit of having a CRM platform instead of just using your email. A lot of people will say to you, well, I don't need a CRM because we all just use our emails and we're organized. But
well, and also your email is not capturing contact information other than an email address. So it doesn't provide that, but you're right. You know, I think when, you know, Zoho is just a CRM and it is free, I think you can pay for extra features, but it doesn't have those added marketing, sales, service tools that HubSpot does.
Certainly not as powerful as HubSpot's. I would agree with you. I think they're trying, but every customer that we ever have that has had it, we're like, it doesn't do this. It doesn't do this. So let's get you on HubSpot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like HubSpot does capture all of those and makes it so easy to work through the different tools seamlessly.
And Salesforce started out as like the CRM platform. It was, you know, really, really known and really, really strong. But the thing that I see customers bumping their head on with Salesforce is it's not as customizable as HubSpot, whereas HubSpot, you know, anybody can go in and adjust CRM fields and properties, and it's drag and drop and pretty easy to work with. You don't need a specialist necessarily to customize it. Anytime you want to make an edit, anybody can technically learn that. And the other thing about Salesforce is the way they've tried to add in licensing is or other automations is they've purchased other companies like Pardot and then latched it on to their software, whereas HubSpot is an all-in-one. All of those tools work within the CRM and all of them operate and have that interconnectivity that you don't get with a lot of other tools.
Yeah, and any clients that have tried to keep Salesforce but then add on HubSpot, normally they use an integration initially, but most of them end up just switching straight over to HubSpot eventually.
I prefer that too. I mean, it makes things a lot easier. It gives you the benefit of that all-in-one, and it just allows you to make sure everybody is working in the same place and using the same language across all the tools instead of still kind of being siloed, which I still feel like you end up doing even if you do have that integration working. People don't necessarily, the sales team and the marketing team aren't working as closely together in a Salesforce plus HubSpot setup, I feel, than if they were all in HubSpot.
I totally agree. I mean, if you just look at the lead scoring tool that's in HubSpot that allows you to create numerical data on depending on what a contact, what actions they take. If the sales team is on HubSpot and seeing that information as well as the marketing team, they can work much more seamlessly and be ready to take on the, you know, the phone call when that contact is deemed hot right away. Whereas if it ends up going through the Salesforce integration and if the sales team isn't right on HubSpot, you know, there's more back and forth, what's really happening with that contact, what properties are have now been collected on HubSpot through some of the marketing actions they may have taken rather than the sales. And I just find it gets quite messy. And then that's where the data ends up becoming bad data, because you get all sorts of things not in the right place. They're not, you know, you have to really watch integrations. For those that decide to continue to do integrations, what I say is make sure you go through and really look that each thing is tagged correctly, so it's going in the right spot on HubSpot. Watch it for, you know, a couple of months to make sure that, depending on which salesperson or whoever it is that's using the other software, that the right data is coming through, and then that data is then being used on the workflows and emails and things like that on HubSpot cleanly. So that then you don't have to worry about that integration going forwards.
And Salesforce is one example, and HubSpot has over the years become more aggressive in developing their own CRM to compete. And so that's where we're at now, by being able to compare those two. But I also think another one that HubSpot has developed tools around to try to replace a tool like Calendly. And we've seen clients with Calendly, and it's creating a lot of duplicate information, a lot of mess. But now that you have the HubSpot meetings tool, you don't necessarily need all of those integrations, because a lot of what you want to be able to do is already baked into the HubSpot. It's just about getting the right licenses together.
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing that we do go through with the client, is we look at what are all the different softwares, including your website, what are you using, and how can we clean that up and make it more simplified. And eventually it actually ends up saving them more money. So instead of paying for Calendly, paying for Salesforce, paying for HubSpot, paying for your hosting with your website, etc., instead of doing that, then you put it all on this one system. You're not only going to get cleaner data, but a much more powerful tool throughout your marketing, sales, service, that eventually should end up making you more money.
What's the difference between good data versus bad data?
So good data is getting the correct information that's actually going to be useful for your team later. And whereas bad data is you didn't get the right information, so there was missed opportunities for getting new customers. If you have bad data, you can't nurture a contact. So if you're creating emails, and we've discussed this previously, but if you're creating emails to target a certain type of contact, but you don't have that data is not really coming through correctly, then your email nurturing is going to fail. You're not going to get good open rates, click rates. So that's why we want to look at that data and see, you know, are you bringing in the right properties? What else should we be adding? What should we not be asking anymore? And even as simple as when someone, if they're targeting certain countries, if they have a property value on their form that just says country, and it's just a single line text, well, someone can spell Canada a million ways. Capital C, small c, C-A-N, C-A, like there's so many different ones. So all of a sudden, when you simply want to send an email to those that live in Canada, well, how are you going to capture all of the variations? Like people might forget an A in Canada. So instead, what we say is use the drop-down feature, decide which, you know, your most important countries that you're targeting, and have that as a drop-down feature. So there's never a spelling issue, and then that keeps your data clean. So that will take some work if you already have that bad data where it's, you know, spelt wrong, all different variations. But we have done that before. We've created workflows to bring it all in together and say, okay, if someone writes Canada this way or C-A-N or C-A or whatever it might be, make it country equals Canada, and then they can use that data much more easily to create those different email nurturing campaigns or whatever the asset they're creating.
That's a great example, and I sort of one that I had left off my list, but because I was going to say good data is comprehensive and data that you can trust, but you've just added a third element, which is let's call it standardized, so that you don't have these variations. And that is very much in the way that you set it up. If you're setting up a custom property, you really have to understand what the implications of that property are going to be when you set it up. And we all know examples with single line text, how much that can vary, as you've just espoused for us, can really change your ability to pull a list of those people and group them all together as the same. And just creates more work and more mess.
Yeah, and that's what comes when you're creating your forms. You do want to have those key pieces of information that you always want to ask, so that throughout your contacts, throughout your CRM, everyone, you have all that information you really want from everyone. And when you're looking at forms in HubSpot, the great feature about it is you can ask the same question each time. But if I have already filled out your form before, so I've already provided my first name, email, and maybe my role, which is the persona, if I go and do another form, it's not going to ask me those again. Those are called smart forms. And you can queue up other fields in your form so that if I've already given those three things, it will then ask me, hey, can you tell me your phone number? Can you tell me your country? So then you're getting more data, but you're making sure that across the forms that are the most important to you, that you at least have that information from each contact.
There was a time where I might have said forms might die soon, but I don't think forms are dead. Do you want to talk a little bit about why forms are still important?
I think on the contact side, if I'm filling out a form because I want to get a free ebook, you do need to be mindful on how much information that person actually wants to give to you. So if it's a simple ebook, I'm probably not going to give you my revenue for the company, how many salespeople I have, email, first name, last name. If there's a huge long form, that deters me from doing it. So you do want to think about what are the key one or two or three properties you do want to ask each time, and then maybe one other that is relevant, or a queued one that's really relevant to that particular offer. So as an example, if it's a sales checklist, well, I might ask email and how many salespeople do you have in your organization? Because that's relevant. But I'm not asking too much of them. Whereas if I'm about to give them...
You don't need to know phone number at that stage.
Exactly. But if you're about to give them a free growth strategy 30-minute call, well, first of all, you definitely need phone number. So it has to be reasonable. The person that's behind the screen needs to be like, oh, you don't want them to be like, oh, why are you asking me that? That's too much information. Delete, X out, I'm gone. You want to make sure that you're being reasonable on what you're asking from them.
Yeah, I mean, information, your personal information is a currency online, and it needs to be a fair trade for what you're receiving, and it needs to make sense as to why do they want to know that. I think that's a really good point. How do you clean up the junk inside of a CRM? What's your process?
So as I mentioned before, I would start with, when we get somebody's CRM portal and we just want to see like how junky is it, we might just quickly create a few lists, like which contacts don't have an email, or which ones don't have a contact owner. And right away from that, you can usually tell, okay, they have some system here, there is a few workflows running properly, or they've been capturing the right information in the form, or it'll be very clear. Like if you have 2,000 contacts that don't have an email, well, that's a big uh-oh, because how are you ever supposed to contact them? You can't send them a marketing email or anything like that. So we would start with that. And then if we are going and doing a full CRM audit, then we create what's called a data hygiene dashboard, where we create all sorts of lists and reports and put them all in a dashboard for a client to see, to show them all the areas that we would expect to be clean. And when I say clean, it means zero contacts in each report. So there's no contact owner, should be a zero. Every contact should have a contact owner. So we're trying to, the whole goal of the data hygiene board is to have zeros across the board. So the great thing about this dashboard is right away we can identify to the client, hey, look at all of these areas that need cleaning up. We can then help them clean it up. And then moving forwards, the client can actually, you know, look at that dashboard on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis and make sure that things are still clean. So when we were talking about integrations, that's a really good one, because in a month's time, when you thought you'd cleaned it all up and it was working well, if you go back to your data hygiene dashboard and then suddenly you see more people without an email address or a first name, then you know, uh-oh, something is still not quite clicking here, and then you can go back and have a look.
I think one of the tools that people are familiar with HubSpot is the workflows for sending out information, but you can use workflows to clean up your data. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so workflows is fantastic because you can use it for that, or you can use to clean up the data and alert someone on your team that something's going wrong. So again, with this, if we can see that, oh, you seem to always have quite a few contacts that come in without a first name, and you usually want the first name because if you're sending an email, you often want it to say Dear Vicky or whatever it might be, we can create a workflow that says, if first name is unknown, alert so-and-so, whoever is in charge of cleaning up the information. You can alert them, send them an internal email, an SMS, whatever it might be. Or in the case of the contact owner, if we've talked to the client and said, okay, you don't seem to have a system of who becomes the contact owner, and they say, okay, I want Bob to take the Canadians, I want Sarah to take the English, whatever, from England, then we can make a workflow that does that. So contact, you know, country equals Canada, boom, the contact owner is so-and-so.
Yeah, the power of the workflows is not just to trigger an action to alert somebody or send an email, but it's also to clean up data that you can slip in information that needs to be filled in. So it could be as simple as changing the contact owner. It could be as simple as automatically label all these people as lead status X if Y happens. You can have all kinds of workflows that are based on changing property information inside of your CRM with HubSpot's automation tools.
Absolutely. And for those that are not using Persona, at this stage, but say have been using job title, and say their job title is specific enough that you could move those over. You could say anyone that has vice president goes over to Persona X, then you can create that workflow and then already have that system running in the background.
One of the things I'm noticing with my clients on the Sales Hub and Service Hub of HubSpot is the ability to force fields to be completed. I think that's another part of planning out which properties are important to your organization so that you're not getting that bad data coming through. If you think about all the properties that matter, you can force the completion of those properties. So it's a little bit on the back foot to have a workflow that runs that says, if John hasn't filled in contact owner or hasn't confirmed contact owner, then force his hand and create him a task, right? Or send him an email alert that he hasn't done that. That's a little bit on the back foot. But what you can do with field property records and some service ticket records is you can say, they're not allowed to progress this ticket or this deal stage unless they fill in properties X and Y.
Yeah, and that's a great thing to do, because I think some people forget, especially if they're manually adding a contact, they forget which things they have. And I would add that in HubSpot, you can customize when someone's manually adding a contact, you can customize which properties must be filled out. So that way they can't skip something. So instead of like, oh, I didn't have time, I just threw in an email address and a first name, it's like, no. You also need to put in what persona they are. You need to add in their phone number, whatever the properties that the company has decided are the most important. Because people do get busy or lazy, that also happens. But if you make sure that they go through that, then it just really cleans up the data in the CRM, and it's just such a powerful tool to be used when you have the right data.
If we were to summarize this show for people today, I think there's quite a few hidden superpowers of HubSpot or hidden uses of HubSpot that we've established. Let's try to recount them. One, don't forget the persona has a superpower of that description, which inverts your internal name. So say we call them a Sam salesman, they can identify themselves as VP of sales, so use their own language. So that's the description field of the persona. That persona field in HubSpot has a superpower. Make sure you understand how to use it in terms of how it will appear to the customer versus how you're using it in-house. We've also said that forcing their hands to fill in certain fields are really important, and you can do that at certain stages if you know how the tools work. But the big thing that I think everyone needs to do when they're setting up their CRM in any software or any marketing automation system is to identify how a lead or a contact or a customer should be treated at all of those different lifecycle stages, and what the data is that you need to collect about them for the various teams to do their jobs in your departments across that lifecycle stage of that customer's treatment.
Yeah, and I think lastly, I would just say that having some way to track that your data is continuing to be clean throughout the time that you're using, because you're always going to be bringing in new staff that are going to start using HubSpot. And yes, you hope that your training works and they're doing it all the right way, but it's really important to have some person and some way of looking through and making sure the data continues to be clean.
So tip number four is having that data hygiene dashboard of, hey, we're doing all the right things and everything's at zero. So we know there's a check and balance in place here to make sure that our data is all consistent, comprehensive, and something we can trust.
Absolutely. And it'll save you so much time in the future.
I think another tip is that, you know, making sure that you have these data properties. If you haven't thought this through before you go to send marketing emails, you're going to fall into a bit of trouble because you're not going to be able to segment them.
Right. And if someone receives an email that is super generic or is actually talking about a different target audience and they're not that person, they are not going to be happy. And so
they're going to delete it.
But they may also say, hey, don't accept anything from this. Don't fill out anything from them. They keep sending me these irrelevant things and it's totally useless and wasting my time. I'm annoyed with them. Suddenly you've lost them, plus maybe one or two other people, depending who they've talked to. So,
or just gotten a spam ranking that really hurts your overall ratings of being able to use tools like HubSpot.
Exactly. So I would always suggest that before you're sending out any sort of automation, really understand why you're doing it and who are you trying to target. And if you're just saying, everyone, I'm going to send it to my whole list, then there's something wrong there. You need to be looking back at it and be like, no, I need to target this and speak the language of that particular contact. And so then that way they even open it and hopefully take action.
Well, that's one of the powers that you're saying of the persona too, is being able to do stuff based on their daily role and their daily challenges, and being able to customize that content, that help that you're willing to give them based on what's going to help them do their job today.
Yeah, and you're going to get the open rates and the actions happening. Like if I am wanting to travel to Florida, but you keep sending me stuff on traveling to, you know, Alberta, well, you've lost me. I'm like, I want to go warm. You keep talking to me about going somewhere cold. Forget it. Delete.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being on the show, Vicky, and sharing your knowledge about HubSpot with everybody. I think you've seen a lot of use cases across our clients of where people get into trouble. And I think it's really good to have you on the show to come and speak from that HubSpot technician point of view about cleaning up your data and managing that data over time, as well as planning out what data is important to you so you can be ready to keep it clean and trustworthy.
I really enjoy looking at data, so I'm happy to have spent the time chatting about it.
For more information on HubSpot, visit HubSpot.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/Company Growth Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.